This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Chris and Amy show on KMOX on this President's Day, and we have with us in studio Peter Castor, who is the professor of history and American culture studies at Washington University. He's been a regular on this show. Yeah. We don't pay him, though. And you know what? We're not going to start. But Peter Castor is with us here in studio. It's good to have you. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me. I'd be doing better if you paid me.
But... Well, yes.
We got to get paid first.
Yeah.
Understood.
This is all voluntary.
We are pretty close to volunteers at this point.
So we wanted to talk to you about the history of President's Day, but also Peter did inform us during the break that he is an Eagles fan, so he celebrated the Super Bowl, but he did not climb any lampposts.
He didn't. He's an Eagles fan because he's from Philadelphia.
Right,
not just like randomly an Eagles fan. Yeah, he's from Philadelphia.
Not like my friend who lives here who just picked them one year.
He's an OG Eagles fan.
That's right.
And he allegedly did not climb any lampposts at WashU.
There is no criminal record of climbing or tearing down a lamppost.
Okay, well, we hope you didn't. So it is President's Day, and it's interesting for me because, well, we don't have the day off, but a lot of people seem to, and it didn't start with just a President's Day. We had Lincoln Birthday and all of that. So why did we make this change? Why did we go from that to President's Day?
So President's Day started in 1879 as a commemoration of George Washington's birthday, which is on February 22nd. And it was a big moment to do that then. It was right after the Civil War. Washington was this symbol of union. And so at a moment when the government was really trying to emphasize the importance of bringing the union back together, they said, we're going to make this national holiday in honor of George Washington. So it started with him. Then people started celebrating Lincoln. And I can't remember when it became President's Day rather than Washington's birthday. That's certainly during my lifetime. But
I feel like it was in the last 20 years.
It was,
right?
It was, yeah. And it was really built around the notion that rather than celebrating an individual, we would celebrate the institution and what it stands for, which frankly is what the holiday was created to do when it was built around Washington.
It feels a lot like George Costanza getting upset that there's too many parties, that there's we got to go to an engagement party, and now there's a rehearsal, that's right, and there's all this other stuff. So there's too many presidents' birthdays, so we just had to combine everybody. That's what it felt like.
I think it did. I think that's true. I think that was a big part of it. And also there were people who started saying, not just people, there were politicians who said, well, you need to add. And then they would put the president who is particularly important to their party.
Yeah.
And by making it President's Day, the idea was this is a national holiday for all Americans about all our presidents. And the presidents are supposed to symbolize the best values of our democracy.
Now, obviously, you are full-time faculty at WashU, so you're teaching history, American history. Is there instead of saying, like, who's your favorite president, is there a president that you get most excited to talk about, and why is it Millard Fillmore?
Don't put down Millard Fillmore. There's a Millard Fillmore Society, which used to give out an award for the greatest act of mediocrity during the previous year.
Really?
I'm not kidding.
Oh, wow.
And I thought that was brilliant.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is. So I actually find that George Washington is the president I always get excited talking about because he was the first. There were no precedents. He faced a lot of really, really difficult decisions where he could have made catastrophic choices, and he made the right choice a lot with really uncanny success. I do ask my students this every year. I give them a survey. I ask them, who's your favorite president? I ask them not to rank them, but to categorize them. Are they great? Are they bad? Are they just forgettable? Millard Fillmore is forgettable. For many of my students, Abraham Lincoln is their favorite. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of students from Illinois and Missouri. That's not surprising. But there's a whole industry built around celebrating and honoring Abraham Lincoln. So that's who they tend to like. So I opt for Washington. My students opt for Lincoln. And when you teach about them, both of those presidents are presidents whose students can accept. It doesn't feel partisan in any particular way. So they're neutral in that sense.
I guess a quick follow-up would be, what were some of the potentially catastrophic decisions that George Washington could have made that he didn't?
What would his title be? So John Adams came to him with this long title. You should be called, I wish I could remember it. It was something like, you should be called your most supreme greatness or something like that.
That's what Amy calls me when I come in.
There you go.
Your supreme greatness.
That's a little Star Wars-y.
Be a great title, yes. He just said, Mr. President. And his point was, the president is a citizen who holds an office and then leaves that office. The president is not this vaunted figure who holds the office indefinitely. He's the president who decided he would leave after two terms. He almost left after his first term. And I think he eventually regretted running for re-election. So all of these principles, that the president is a civilian who leaves office, that the president serves two terms and then chooses to leave. So that's about the office. And then there were some other specific questions. He managed to keep the United States out of a war that erupted in Europe after the French Revolution, a war that lasted for over 20 years. So a lot of these were really prudent decisions on his part.
I didn't want to turn it this direction, but you're talking about this and it's making me think of President Trump's tweet or Truth Social post from a couple of days ago where he said, he who saves his country does not violate any law. That I'm reading it wrong, but a sentiment like that seems to be at odds with maybe the way Washington would have seen it.
Who's that quote attributed to? Do you know? Sorry, you didn't think you'd be quizzed. It's attributed to Napoleon Bonaparte, not someone you want to be taking advice from on democratic governance, guy who installed himself after in a basically a political coup, who crowned himself emperor and who
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Controlled all facets of French government for 15 years. So it is a statement that also is at odds, not just with American law as it is now, but frankly, with the way presidents imagined their role, that the office is above them. They're not above the office. So I think that statement, if for the people who are paying attention to it, it's doing them more harm than good. Let's put it that way.
Well, you know, as we talk about the evolution of the executive branch and yeah, that, as Ranj brought up, that quote was something that definitely stood out over the weekend. But just kind of as we look at the executive branch historically, I was reading up on, you know, different presidents as the way they treated the position. And as you mentioned, George Washington stepped down after two terms, and that was kind of understood. But of course, it wasn't codified yet. And so then you have an FDR who runs for president four times, and seems that if he hadn't passed away, would have kept running indefinitely. What are your thoughts on a president like FDR running four times and then afterwards amending the Constitution to say, let's limit it at two?
Right. So one of the things people often talk about are norms for the presidency. They're only norms until they're broken. And that actually was a presidential norm that FDR broke. And his way of explaining it to the public, and all of the evidence we have, is that this is what he believed himself, was that the supreme crisis facing the United States made this necessary. So when he ran for his third term, the U.S. was still in the depths of the Depression. He said, we need stability in government in order to get us out of this crisis. And then when he ran again in 1944, it was at the height of the largest war in U.S. history, but he was pretty clear that that was going to be his last term. And it's also clear that Americans, first of all, Americans agreed with him because they reelected him. And they also believed, all right, appropriate here, but inappropriate in general. And that's why Americans amended the Constitution to formally to codify what had been a norm, to say that presidents can serve two terms, but should only serve two terms. And Roosevelt himself probably shouldn't have run for re-election in 44, not because there was anything wrong with it, but he was profoundly sick. His hypertension and heart disease were already catching up with him. In the summer of 44, his doctors thought he might die. He seemed so sick. And they did this crash course in medical treatment and pretty much required him to take a break. So, and his body stabilized. But when he went to his final inauguration, he was profoundly weak. And of course, he died of a stroke only 3 months after being sworn in for his fourth term.
Peter Castor, who is a professor of history and American culture studies at WashU, is with us on KMOX. It's very easy to ask who's your favorite president. Is there an underrated president we don't give enough attention to?
So there actually are a bunch of underrated presidents. There are certainly overrated presidents, and all former presidents who aren't wildly popular or reelected think they're underrated. You know, when they say, oh, people didn't understand what I meant. You mentioned George Costanza. Mm-hmm. There's an episode where they're the Van Buren boys.
Yes.
Martin Van Buren thought he was grossly underestimated. Someone who was sort of underestimated in his own time, had a resurgence, but has disappeared off everyone's radar, is Lyndon Johnson, who was probably not only one of the most consequential presidents, but one of the most effective domestic policy presidents since FDR. In many ways, the fights we are seeing now in Washington are about the government apparatus that he built. It's about the agencies that he built out, the new agencies he created, and his ability to get them through Congress and to very quickly staff them and get them working was really extraordinary. To my students, he's kind of an irrelevancy, which I find really interesting. So he's the first one who comes to mind. There are others, but I think he's a good example, not only of an underrated president, but how presidents get forgotten.
Is it also true he used to drag his aides into the bathroom with him while he made?
What?
He didn't drag them.
He made them, did he not?
But he just kept talking as he walked in.
Okay.
Oh. He had a shower installed in the White House, and he said he wanted as much water pressure as possible. So
I can get behind.
Oh, dude. totally behind that.
But people said it.
That's another Seinfeld.
They worried it would injure him, like it would flay his skin off or something. He was, in many ways, a deeply peculiar man. But I think anyone who runs for president is often peculiar in one way or another.
You have to be.
You have to.
You got to be a little nuts.
You know who can save this country?
Me. Yeah. I'm the one who can do it. Peter Caster, I would love to talk to you again when one of my favorite holidays, Three Flags Day, comes up, because I love Three Flags Day. I think it's so fascinating.
I don't even know what Three Flags Day is.
Well, you're an expert in the Louisiana Purchase, right? Okay. Yeah. That's the 2-day period in St. Louis where we were under three different flags over, what, like a 48-hour period?
48-hour period in 1804 when we were we were governed by Spain. Authority was granted quickly to France because France was then handing it over to the United States. I'm always happy to talk about Three Flags Day.
I think it's super interesting.
I agree.
Yeah. And there was a fort right where Ballpark Village is.
Really?
Right. Yeah.
Right.
San Carlos?
Which was also right near the site of the westernmost battle of the American Revolution. The American Revolution was fought here in St. Louis.
We're going to do that.
This is I feel robbed.
You didn't know about this?
I didn't know about Three Flags Day. We would love to have you in. We could
That'd
do like
great.
Peter Caster.
You could just hang with us for all 4 hours.
Yeah.
said all presidents all day.
Let's see. March 9th and 10th. Is that a weekend or? I don't know. I'm going to figure that out. Middle of the week, you're in.
Perfect.
Oh, it's a Monday. Monday the 10th, you're in with us.
Sounds good.
All right.
That's Peter Caster, professor of history and American culture studies at Washington University. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.